This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio at 99.5 FM, ktwh.org online. In our spring membership fun drive week, we have a very special opportunity to talk about something wonderful happening that is helping the youth of our area in this present moment, and also honors a great teacher and mentor from the past and up at Two Harbors High School. Pat McKenzie taught at Two Harbors High School from 1955 to 1986, and she made quite an impression on a generation of girls. I have on the phone with me today Lori Janitopoulos. Welcome to KTWH, Lori.
Well, thank you, Leo. It's great to be here and to talk about this award.
Now, Lori, you've been living on the greater Iron Range for some time, but you are, in fact, graduate of Two Harbors High School. Can you admit what class?
Yes, for sure. Yep, I graduated in 1975 from Two Harbors High School. You know, just the influence that Pat McKenzie had on my life and the lives of other, young women at the time kind of has been inspiring to me throughout my life.
So, Lori, maybe you could tell us, we say that Pat was a teacher, and I have some words that describe what looks like a lot of coaching and mentoring. And how did you encounter Pat doing what particular activities? Did you have her as a teacher, but also as an advisor and a leader on trekking? Because it seems like she was involved in a number of things.
Yeah, yep. And so she was, you know, a Phi Ed teacher. And so I had her for a Phi Ed teacher at Two Harbors High School. And then in the summers, Pat McKenzie, who went by Ken's, a lot of us knew her by Ken's, also led and facilitated and organized hiking and canoe trips primarily in the Boundary Waters canoe area, you know, all summer. And for girls to go on. And the kind of success building that really happened on all girl trips into the wilderness really left a lasting impression. I'll have to say that at the time, I didn't particularly, you know, care for the trips, but all my friends were going because, you know, it wasn't necessarily easy. But the success building of carrying a canoe and, you know, and learning how to steer that canoe and learning how to camp, and the camaraderie was really, you know, amazing. And it's something that, you know, I at least carried through in my life from, you know, there on out.
Yeah, it looks like you and I were fairly contemporaneous in our time in high school. I graduated from a high school in the East Coast in 1974. We're talking about the era when opportunities for young women in high school were not always either uniform across the country and not very abundant in terms of, I don't know my history well, Lori, maybe you do. Title IX made a huge impact and girls' sports were vastly increased over that decade to come. But was there even resistance in having some of the opportunities that Pat wanted to make available to students?
Yeah, you know, as I remember it, so, you know, girls' sports were really kind of coming of age. So it was before Title IX when I was in high school. But there were things that girls couldn't do. I mean, even when I first started playing basketball, I think it was half a court. You could only dribble three times and that sort of thing. And I remember that, you know, being in track with my friend and one of the folks on the committee for the award, Lisa Radosovich Craig, we were thinking we would like to pole vault, but we were told that pole vaulting for girls was not allowed because it would rip our uteruses. And so, I mean, there were just things like that. Girls weren't allowed to take shop class. I know that Ellen Lepping-Reichdahl, who's also on our committee, talks about how Ken's made a lasting impression on her and really her sense of adventure and how girls were not allowed to wear pants, you know, in school, that their dresses or skirts had to be of a certain length. I mean, it was really, a different time, even though some of those things have been a long time changing, too.
Yes, so. Some of the young people that may be winning a scholarship, a Ken's Award scholarship, might not understand that dress code was a very fundamental issue in the 1970s.
Yeah.
I know my school went out on strike to have the student strike to have the right to wear blue jeans.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and I think I just missed the dress code, luckily, but, you know, it really was, especially that kind of control over what you could or couldn't wear and how, you know, gender specific and that sort of thing. And Ken's really created, you know, often single-handedly opportunities for girls really to participate in like the wilderness adventures, those opportunities that really we didn't get in other places.
Surely she must have had resistance or skeptics as to what the value of what she might be doing was and whether it was going to be safe to take young women trekking.
Yeah, I don't know, because I know that, you know, I think that all of our parents and such, I grew up with my grandmother, but others, like, they really, I think, appreciated it. Maybe they, in some ways, that kind of courage to be uniquely herself and promoting the value of love for the wilderness, you know, was something that maybe wasn't readily apparent how strong it was making girls, because I don't remember any opposition to it. It just was an amazing thing that she did for so many years for so many girls.
I sensed before when you were talking about how it wasn't exactly what you wanted to do, but it was something that your friends were doing, so you wanted to get involved as well. And in the end, despite the challenges of the journey, you took something away that's kind of a lifelong memory and lesson.
Yep. You know, absolutely. Like I said, you know, the ability to, if the trip had not been girls only, would it have been all girls carrying canoes? Would it have been girls learning how to paddle a canoe and how to steer a canoe and how to go over small rapids, how to make a fire, how to cook over a campfire? I mean, those sorts of things, that kind of success building really gets into your spirit, I guess, if you will. And even though you don't know it maybe at the time, I know now how important it has been, not only then, but later. So, which is why I'm super excited that this idea that I had and the committee that I formed, that we've been able to create this kind of an award to keep, you know, Ken's legacy moving forward for Two Harbors and especially for young women in Two Harbors.
Well, it strikes me that, if I'm remembering right, that Pat died almost 20 years ago, and I'm excited to find that this is coming to fruition now. Is it some kind of circumstance that led you all to reconnect, all the graduates that are getting together to work on this project? It sounds like maybe it's an idea of yours in particular, Lori.
Yeah, it's been an idea of mine for some time. I just wasn't, you know, necessarily in the right place to, like, put it forward. And so when I was, which was recently now, you know, I connected with my good friend, Lisa Radosovich-Craig. She and I graduated, and she graduated with me in 1975, and some others, Cindy Koziak, Diana Johnson-Devecha, Nancy Lepink, and Ellen Lepink-Reichdahl, and Holly Church. And it was that committee was basically through word of mouth. You know, we connected with Cindy first, and she engaged with some of her friends from her class, because the rest are mostly from 1976, and we put the idea forward, and our committee decided on creating this award for a Two Harbors graduating senior girl, and we collectively have raised over $50,000 and are able to give out a $2,000 award this year in Two Harbors on Wednesday, actually. And since we're working with the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation, and this award is part of their scholarship endowment, so it will go on into the future as well. But it is, you know, quite a legacy that we want to continue. And if I can just put in a plug, we would love to raise additional funds. We would really like to, you know, get to $100,000, because in that way we could give a larger scholarship amount. This year we're giving out $2,000. We could either give a larger scholarship amount or perhaps to a greater number of recipients. I also want to say that our committee is not the selection committee. That committee is a committee of the foundation itself. So anything we can do to have people, because Ken's, like I said, Ken's influenced so many people in Two Harbors that I know that there will be people that would want to give to this fund for these awards as well.
Sure. The founders of the fund aren't actually involved, or are you, in helping to find the people that are going to be doing the annual review and awarding of the senior girl each year?
We are involved in promoting it. We're involved in connecting with the foundation and the committee to make sure the founder's wishes and the legacy of Ken's is carried through. But we're not, you know, involved in selecting the recipient or recipients, you know, given that there would be some conflict there. And anyway, that's the way it works, but we're good with that. You know, what we do want to do, however, is we would love to have, you know, ongoing relationship with recipients of the award in some way, so that, again, so that continuity of Two Harbors women and in leadership and strength in Ken's legacy kind of moves forward as a network.
We're speaking today with Lori Janitopoulos about and is it the Ken's or the Kenzie Award? I see it written both ways in one paragraph.
It's the Ken's Award.
K-E-N-Z. Okay.
Yep, K-E-N-Z, in honor of Patricia McKenzie.
Great. And speaking of legacy, I asked you before, and it sounds like maybe it's an open question. We know that somebody like Pat McKenzie, doing the work she did with these young women for so many years, probably had some serious mentorship herself and inspiration. I think you said that you aren't exactly sure of what that might have been. It'd be kind of fun to know if there is a story of who inspired her, because I think of the work that you and your fellow Two Harbors High School grads are doing is that you're paying forward wonderful gifts that were given to you by your teacher, mentor, Pat McKenzie.
Yeah, hopefully this will stir Ken's stories, because over all those years and all those trips with all of those Two Harbors young women, think of, you know, when we talk about Patricia McKenzie in any group of Two Harbors women, there are stories that come out. And so I'm guessing that somewhere along the line, there could be stories that Ken's told about people that influenced her in her life. I just don't remember any exactly. I just remember how encouraging she was to me. You know, she also could be grumpy on some of those camping trips.
any chance some of that grumpiness was right from having to deal with some young women all day and night?
I would guess so. I'm
speaking as a former scout leader, Lori, that
yes.
There were some nights I went to bed very tired from having to be grumpy.
Yes. Yep. I would absolutely guess that would be the case. I remember a bear stealing my sleeping bag once, and she giving us, you know, I think she helped with her sleeping bag somehow or something she had with her. So I remember that. I remember, you know, I remember a moose being too close, and she led by example how you run away. It was, yeah, I'm sure that she put up with a lot.
It wasn't all roses. There were some reality checks along the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
But just to make it clear to folks how they can help out, you want to, if you haven't given it yet, remind people exactly where they might be able to send a financial contribution if they so desire.
Yep. So it's the Duluth Superior Community Area Foundation, and I think Googling that would probably be easier. I've got their website, but it's a little, you know, it's a little difficult, you know.
Sure. No, that's a difficult, that mouthful to say.
Yeah.
But Lori, it reads like this on my end. It reads Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation, 324 West Superior Street, Suite 700, Duluth, Minnesota, 55802. So there's that.
Yes.
That address, but you are going to let people know how they can find out more.
Yes. If people want to send a check to that address that you just listed and just include Ken's award in the memo, that would be great. And if people have any questions at all, they can just give me a call. Like I said, I didn't say this in the interview, but I retired recently. And so I've got some time when I'm not playing pickleball. And my number is 218-780-7890. 218-780-7890.
Fantastic. I think this is an amazing thing that the award is already going to be awarded for the first time this year. And the interview will be heard on Wednesday morning. And by that evening, it's the Two Harbors Honors Night. And that will be when this first Two Harbors senior will be awarded the Ken's Award. Is that right, Lori?
That's right.
That's right.
Exciting. And I'm honored. Lisa Radosovich Craig and I will be there to help present that award with the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation.
Wow. That seems like that'll be quite a joy and satisfaction for all of you. So
absolutely.
My best to you for that being an exciting, rewarding night. Lori, thanks so much for joining us today and telling a little bit of the Pat McKenzie story.
I'm just very thankful to you, Leo, for having me on. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. You take care, Lori. Bye now.
All right. Bye, Leo.
Lori Janitopoulos, a 1975 graduate of Two Harbors High School. She worked a number of positions, including at Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency. As she just mentioned, she's just recently retired, and they will be giving out the Ken's Award to a Two Harbors High School female senior this Wednesday night at Two Harbors High School's Honors Night. This is Leo for KTWH.